rest and relaxation. He told me he wanted me to, who is up there? JR? JW? Hey, Jay. You'll know you need to turn that down if I'm up here. But he said for us to tell you about the ministry a little bit, and I'm gonna invite my beautiful bride up here. She'll have to talk to me because she's got laryngitis. Come on. But she'll tell me what she says. But I just praise God for your support over the years. I praise God for what God has allowed us to do on campus, what He allows us to do through Poplar Grove. We have a place for them to come when we can't meet on campus. We got a place to meet now. They love to come to church. Jenny had a girls' Bible study yesterday morning at the local line. To just try to give you a little detail, I'm trying to see who's here and who's not here as far as my college kids, because I want to tell you some things about them, because I want you praying about them. I got a girl from Green Bay, Wisconsin. It's not really her fault, but she's here and I love her. She just took right in with us. She's a freshman. Love her. I got a guy that is not here. I ask you to pray for him. This is special. Touch my heart. He came to Collegians first night this year. I didn't think he would come back. God brought him back. Because we broke off in guys' groups and the girls' group, and we pray, you know, guys and girls separate after it's all over with. And he didn't have anything. He's kind of withdrawn. And afterwards, I hug him. You know how I do. I hug him and tell him I love him. And I hope I see him again. And he said, I'll be back. Well, he was there next week. He's been in church every Sunday since. He's not been in anything organized religion since he was 8 years old. That's God. That's bringing who needs. We need him and he needs us. And y'all don't take for granted. I just want to brag on this church for your prayers and your support. And you've upped our support. And I'm going to go ahead while this is on my mind, but you've got to be thinking about what you want me to say for you. We're having a cookout October the 5th. At the church, there will be hog and chicken quarters. Please come. I know the wrestlers will be there. I think, Coach, can I have them on October the 5th? But the football game's away, and I hope that Coach will let me have them. But if not, surely he won't practice them all day. Because look at him. Come on, Coach. But really got to meet some kids that I only got to meet one time last year. Went to all the matches, but you get to build these relationships. But I just want to thank this church for foundationally setting Collegians up the way that they have. But this is starting our eighth year. This it's been a long time. And it's a whole lot longer than you realize it's been. And we've not been here in 2 years, and Evie came up there and I hugged her and she said, where have you been? And I told her, I said, the Lord called us somewhere else. But she hugs me and loves me every time I see her. And I love the kids here. I love the kids at our church. You know my heart. You know where I'm at. And I usually won't do this, but I've been praying for this woman right here. And I'm going to give her a kiss on her head. Because I've not seen her in years. And Lord's good. Praise God for what you got. Because it can be gone in a minute. And I sit and I look at that. A lot of people don't know. And I was talking to a woman at our church, Marjorie Pitts. She's married to Brent Pitts, if y'all know Brent. And excellent mechanic. But she's had cancer and for the second time. And I text her every morning. Brent went back to the VA. Good checkup on him. But her throat's messed up. I don't think it's cancer. But if you've never had cancer, you don't know how people think. And I told her, I said, well, no matter what, I said, me and Jenny both know how you're thinking and what you're doing, but believe us, we pray for you. And she said, thank you. And I know y'all pray for us because we started out, last year was a little bit of an off year. I don't understand why. It's behind us. But this year we prayed and said, God, please bring us the right kids in. And he has. He's granted us. God gives you your needs, but he gives you a whole lot of your wants. And we're spoiled. And this country's spoiled. Get in Revelation chapter 3 and start reading about the Laodicean church. We're spoiled. We think we're in need of nothing, but we're pitiful. We're naked. We don't care about sin anymore. Sin's never preached on. Repentance is never preached on. Nobody wants to hear. I know your pastor does, and I know I do. But my church ain't going to know what it's like to have maybe a friendly sermon today because I've been on them pretty hard. But I just do what the Lord tells me. Trust me. And we need some guidance sometimes and discernment to know what we need to preach. And I praise God that he does that with us and he shows us. But a lot of people will not. I'd say 90% of the churches that you know of in the world do not preach repentance anymore, sin anymore, the wickedness of sin. And that, but God is such a loving God. And Jesus Christ comes to you out of love. He's going to come the second time out of judgment. And He's coming. And I know that. That ain't my message. But have you got anything that you want to say? But I will tell you this. God knew who I was going to marry. And He called her from California to come here to be with me in His ministry. And if you don't see that, I'm sorry. I'm telling you, she is what makes me go, but she is what makes, and I'm jealous of her Bible study. She has girls' Bible study on Tuesday nights or every other Tuesday night at the college or at the church. And just the relationship he gets to build with these young women. And I praise God that she can be with them. And you know, I'm with these guys and we do our thing. And I love being a man, trust me. I ain't got no doubt of what I am. And I just love to just watch. And we're going to, well, I get to do little Sarah's and Josh's wedding this year. I hope y'all are there. That's a blessing. I get to do Cody Bond and Lexi next year. One of the wrestlers. He's a coach at Troop McConnell University wrestler. And then I get to do, I already said Josh and Sarah, didn't I? There's one more. They just asked me. Cassie. Rhett and Cassie. And that'll probably be down around Concord or somewhere. That's three weddings I get to attend, but we've been to about how many? 20, close to 20 just collegiate kids that's got married in the last 8 years. That's a blessing. I've got two grandbabies. I call them my CFC grandbabies, two. Hope some more start coming. But God's good to us, and God's good to y'all for helping us. Thank you for that. And have you got anything, baby? You gonna quit? Don't back up.
No.
We can't go no farther back. She can't hardly talk.
No, I just wanted to say, I'll try to say it, and you can repeat it. I just want to thank the Lord always for saving me. That's always going to be the first thing that I say. And it just feels like, I don't know, so I love this church. Sorry. Mm-hmm. And the college kids, I'll say all the time, anytime, get a chance to talk to them. They're more of a blessing in our lives than we could ever be in our lives.
Amen.
It's a blessing. Sorry. And I just can't thank Julie Hayes and James for the support they've shown us from day one. And we really couldn't do it without them. So Julie knows I love her. And James.
That's all I can say. That's all she's got in her. I've got a little bit more in me. And I'll get it. I always give her a kiss over at church. And if somebody's sitting beside me, it ain't my wife. I always ask them, I said, you want me to kiss you? Because I always kiss my wife before I preach. And they say, no, that's all right. I've had Sean Carter. I've had Sean. I say, Sean, you want some sugar? He said, no, you're good. And I love these kids because I'm going to tell you something. If you're consistent with them, they'll respect you. And there's a group sitting right back there that I think the world of. Been around them since they came here. You got South Dakota, Long Island, Greensboro, and Charlotte, correct? Been with them. They come to church almost every Sunday. That's a blessing. Known Sean Carter now, 7 years, coach? Is this his sixth or seventh? Sixth. Sean's been around. He comes. But I love these wrestlers because of the respect level. If you get into if you want, they got it. And I'll brag on them. Brag on them to their face. I'll brag on them behind their back. Because Coach gets some of the greatest. I don't understand how he gets them, but it's a God thing. And he knows what I'm saying here. He gets some athletes that are men. That are going to be great men. And that's one thing he cultivates in them is to be a better man. And to be a good husband. Be a good dad. And I praise the Lord for John Mark Bentley. And he's been good to me. And he knows how much I love his kids. And he's good. I know he's hurting a little bit now, but guess what, brother? It ain't going to get no easier. And I'll never forget, I sat back there one Wednesday night a couple of years ago. And he said, I finally had to get it. I said, what? He said, I got a shot in my shoulder. And I said, son, them's going to come pretty regular from now on. So he done had some hip work. Praise the Lord. How is Aaron? Good. Praise the Lord. We've been praying for her. Has anybody got anything before we get started? You got any questions? Hello, Kevin. I was talking about how good you was looking a little bit ago. Me and Jean looked over and she said, man, how handsome old Kevin is. It's good to be here. Thank you. Thank you for church for coming down here. But thank you for the love you show us. And it's prayers. And it's not a... It's something that, you know, that unseen hand. Thank you for singing that, Nathan. That's one of my favorite songs. Because you don't know what God's doing. You don't know what He has done sometimes until He reveals it to you. But He's done a whole lot for us that we don't realize it's been Him. But it is. And there's no, if you'll put your life together and you'll truly look at your life, I don't care if you're 20 or if you're a little older than that. If you'll look back across your life, God's had His hand in it. He truly has. And it's a blessing. Anybody got a question, anything about, did I touch on that enough, Jane? CFC? Because I'm fixing to pull a gun. I'm ready to get up here now. But I love this big old place right here. I love it. If you will, turn to 2 Chronicles. I don't preach Old Testament a lot, but I really enjoyed what the Lord gave me right here. And 2 Chronicles, I better get some glasses on or I won't be able to see nothing. Oh yeah, and I didn't mention Marley, she's a soccer player from where? Huh? So she's Southern. But I tell them boys from New York, I said, I'll get that out. Kaneda, now I've about got him, he's talking about like me now. He's got that strong New York accent. And I say, son, I'll have you a redneck before you leave this place. And it's fun because I get to cut up with them and I get to watch them. That's what I get to do is learn their personalities by the way they wrestle. And a lot of them, I know how they are and I know how their nature just by the way that they wrestle. But it's a blessing. If you can get over there and watch them wrestle sometime this year, please do. It just support them because they're really, really great kids. And but 2 Chronicles chapter 17, I know I didn't tell you the 17. Oh. One little water. Y'all hang in there. I may have told that in my pocket. It's got some ice in it. But 2 Chronicles 17, this is about Asa, King Asa. But I want you to, I hope you pick up on some of the words that pops out in the scripture right here. But starting in verse number 6, 2 Chronicles 17, verse 6, if you will stand in accordance to the reading of God's word. And you know what you're holding in your hand is a gift. What you're holding in your hand, people have died so you could have it. Jesus Christ especially. But you're holding something in your hand that the whole lot of the world does not have. We've got so many Bibles sometimes that they you know, it's a shame that I've got so many and somebody else has never had one. I know sometimes out at the purse they'll talk about they'll give these kids a Bible and there'll be 100, 200 of them. And guess what they do? They tear a page out and take it home to their family. A page. They don't have a whole complete word. But the word of God is in every page. So it doesn't matter. His spirit can do anything he wants to do. So let's not quench the spirit. I pray that nobody's here with that kind of frame. And I don't think so. Because I really feel some liberty right here. But just pray for me. Pray for the word of God. Pray for the spirit to move and do as only he can do. But starting in verse number 6, it says, then Asa, the king, took all Judah and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. So Asa went and took this stuff. And at that time, Hanani, the seer, which is a prophet, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them in a hand because he delivered them. He delivered them because he relied on him. But verse number 9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Let's pray. Almighty God, we just bow unworthy to you, God, as humble as we can get this morning, God. And thank you for saving my soul. God, what an unworthy human being. But God, you created. And dear Lord, you created us all. And I just praise God for
for you. And dear Lord, you was the perfect, you came as yourself. A lot of people don't understand that Jesus, yeah, he was the perfect sacrifice, but Jesus is you. And God, you saw fit to create us, but God, you saw fit to die for us. Because you knew that we needed that blood payment for our sins. God, I thank you. God, thank you for Mount Lebanon, what they've meant to us over the years. It's been a long time since we've been here, but God, I just feel like it's at home. God, thank you for the Poplar Grove congregation that came down to support us, God. What a blessing that is. But dear Lord, just take your word. Take my thoughts and put them out of the way. And God, get my mind right. Get what comes out of my mouth right. But God, just thank you for loving the way that you do. God, thank you for support and things that the unseen hand. God, what a blessing that you do things and sometimes we don't even know. God, forgive us for not recognizing, God, for the blessing that you do give us. God, help us to be more what we can be. God, we can all be better. We can all do more and we can all witness more. God, thank you for the blood of Jesus. In his holy precious name we pray. Amen.
All right, the title of this, I'm going to get started. Is anybody looking at the clock yet? Oh, we're good. And I say that every time. So if it gets 12 and John leaves, I guess if John leaves, we'll know it's 12. And but Asa, to give a little backstory of this, Asa's king of Judah, Baasha is the king of Israel. Baasha was building a fort that threatened the peace and the economy of Judah. So he was feeling a little bit of a threat here, Asa was. And so, but guess what he does? He goes and recruits the king of the king of Syria to come over here with him. So Asa sought the help of the Syrians, and the plan worked brilliantly. But guess what? It wasn't God's plan. It wasn't God's plan. God did not tell him to do that. But he said, well, I'm going to go over here and get me a coalition or build me a coalition, and we're going to go over here and take your stuff. Well, they had already defeated so many people that the king, the other king there, they carried away the stones of Ramah. He was building that. But they ran him off and stole his stuff to build their own stuff. God didn't have a thing to do with that. Asa, at his time, was following God to a certain extent. But if you'll go through all Chronicles and all the judges and all these leaders and all these kings, that was a good one, that was a bad 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 one. And then we get a good one back in there, but it's not good for all the time. And I was reading some this week, and I know y'all are smarter than me. Solomon even had some big time backsliding at the end of his life. Solomon was the smartest man in the world. I question that sometimes with 1,000 wives and concubines, but I wonder sometimes, you know, Satan is so strong and so specific with each of us. He's getting us by the world, he's getting us by the country, but he's also getting us individually. Satan's smart, he knows what he's doing. He knows how to get you. And something that I'm weak in, Dale may not be. You know what I'm saying? But Dale's weak in something Tim may not be. So that's why we're all together, and that's why we're a family, and that's why we're to be the bride of Christ. That's why we're to lift each other up and edify each other. We're to encourage each other, not beat each other down. And we're our biting words sometimes are awful. But anyway, getting back to that, but God didn't tell him to go do that. Asa decided I'm going to do it because they're getting in on my money, and they're getting in on my economy, and they're getting in on the way that the people look and respect me. So you're going to get some people that will do some crazy things. I've always said, if there's an abundance of money, there's corruption. You can shake your head, yeah, if you want to, and if you've got a lot of money, you might as well shake your head, because you're tempted with corruption when you got a lot of money. And if you follow the money, you'll usually find corruption. But anyway, he said, but at that time, Hananiah the seer, and a seer, I'll just confess, I like to watch Viking stuff and history and just like to know. But they had some seers on these. But they were prophets. So a whole lot of times they were blind, but they had these. They're not God seers, but they were seers. And they would go to them, old wise man. It's kind of like a witch doctor, I think. But a seer in God's day, God's seers were prophets. They saw and they pointed out. They said, this Hananiah went to Asa, and he said, listen, Hoss, you're doing not the will of God. And y'all know that my English is not good, so just look over it. And went to school all my life, never did learn anything. And but you know what? I've got smarter in the last 10 years of my life. Because it ain't school books that'll learn you. It's the Word of God that'll learn you. But anyway, boy, that's good English there too, wasn't it? And
but so if you're any English teacher or writer or anything, just look over that.
And but in verse 7, and at the time Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thy hand. So if you've not picked up on how I'm enunciating relied, that's what this sermon's about. Who do you rely on? Who do you rely on? Who do I rely on? That's one title. I'm going to give you the other title to it in a minute. But it goes right in there. But who do you rely on? Verse number 6 and 7, Asa relied on man to help him. Verse numbers 8 and 9, Asa's reminded of what happened when he relied upon the Lord. Hananiah comes back in here and he says, "For the were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? They were outnumbered." But he says, "Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thy hand." And how many times did these old boys go out to fight and they got their hind ends whipped and had to come back to the house because they didn't rely on the Lord because the Lord didn't tell them to go do it. If David would have been where he's supposed to be, I can't rewrite the Bible, but he might not have seen Bathsheba, but that was supposed to happen or it wouldn't happen. So David, if he's where he's supposed to be, he's trying to get, who was her husband? Who? Uriah. Uriah, he's trying to get him on the front lines where if you get him killed, Uriah said, no, I'm going to stay here and protect you. Now, you talk about a heel, son. David, the man after God's own heart, don't ever forget that. He's a whole lot closer to God than I am. I don't think God's ever going to write about Tim Kirby, a man after my own heart. He might one day, I don't know. But David was a man after his own, after God's own heart, but yet God saw this. Uriah was trying to protect him and say, I'll stay here with you. He said, no, you got to go back to the front lines. I got to kill you. Well, the enemy's going to kill you. But guess what? Satan will kill you if you get out from under the hand of God, because that's all he wants to do. There's nothing he would rather do than get in here and divide this church and your marriage and everything about it. He'd rather blow it all to pieces than let it go smooth, because he knows his time is running out. And I love that the demons respect Jesus Christ and they say, is it our time? I know one thing, Satan knows he's running out of time and Satan knows his end. I'll say this, and I forgot to say this about collegians. We had a little bonfire to church about 2 weeks ago and had three girls there. They're freshmen. And I got talking about that fire and how hot it was. And them blue flames is hotter than the yellow flames. And then they say that hell, you can't see in there. So that's a black flame to me. It's going to be really hot. But I mentioned that hell is one place, but the lake of fire is another place. That little girl come up to me afterwards and she said, can I ask you a question? I said, yes. She said, I've never heard about the lake of fire. I said, give me your Bible. And I went and I laid it out on the hood of a car. And I read that to her. And I said, this is where Satan's going to spend eternity. And that's where all of mankind that has not accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior is going to spend eternity. It's not going to be in hell. It's going to be in a lake of fire. Hell is a holding place. Hell is the awfulest place I can think of. But the lake of fire is worse. Think of that. That's going to be continual moaning, groaning, screaming, crying, but you're separated from the love of God. And I say this all the time, and I know I've said it here in the pulpit. There's people in hell right now that God still loves. God's never quit loving you. Trust me. And he'll not love you more tomorrow than he loves you today. And he does not love you any less yesterday than he does today. That's just who he is. He's God. His love is different than anybody else's. But that little girl came up to me and asked me that. Then I said something about paradise. I said, what about paradise? You know where paradise is? She said, no. I said, well, you remember the thief on the cross? I said, Jesus looked at him and said, today you'll be with me in paradise. I said, you know where paradise is? She said, no. And I said, that's down towards hell. She said, what do you mean? I said, because all the Old Testament prophets had never had the blood applied. They had not gone to heaven yet. So therefore, he took captivity captive. I said, for 3 days and three nights, Jesus did a whole lot for you. He got death, hell, and the grave, the keys to death, hell, and the grave. I said, you never have to face death. You never have to go to the grave. I mean, I may go to the grave right now, but that don't mean I'm staying there. Then I get a new body, and I meet heaven, Jesus Christ in the air, and then I get to go and spend eternity with Jesus Christ. No better deal in the world than that. But God loved me enough to do that for me. And a lot of people say, well, Jesus did it all, but Jesus is God. If you cannot get that, you're not getting it. Because all your false religions, all your cults, will never give Jesus Christ the deity that he deserves. He's the Son of God. He is all man and he is all God. You got to get that. But anyway, then I told her and I said, but Jesus went and got the keys to all of them. And I said, I think Michael's that angel that gets to come down and rough Satan up a little bit and toss him on in there. I don't know. But it says a great angel comes with those keys and opens up the lake of fire and throws him in there with his buddy, the beast and the false prophet. So therefore, that's two things I get to take these little girls through the journey of the Lord. Praise God for that. And that's just, but it hurts my heart that there's kids that's never heard that. It hurts me. So church, you know what I need you praying for? That there's these kids need to hear it all, not just a little bit of it. All of it. Because that's in there. And when you get into, well, God's just a God of love, you better believe he is. He struck me down when I was born. But he saw something. And I tell y'all this, and I've told you here probably before, I say it at church all the time. God saw something in Tim Kirby nobody else saw. Ever. My wife didn't see it when we first got married. But I'm a sweetheart now, ain't I, babe? And it's like, I was miserable when I was lost. You're not happy if you're lost. I don't know how you can be. Because, and I see all these tragedies happening, and all these people, all these hostages get murdered in Israel. And I'm like, how do their families cope with that? If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you can't get through life the way that I can. There's a comfort and a peace in my life that no one else can give me but Jesus Christ. You can chase everything your whole life and not find it. Because it's, guess what? You're missing him. When you get a hold of Jesus, you've got it. But anyway, let me get back to this. Okay, so here's your question. So herein lies the question. Who do you rely on? Who do you rely on? Asa relied on man. We're bad for that. We're real bad for that because guess what? These kids come to us and they want our advice and they want us to mentor them, and that's one thing, and I love that. But I always say, listen, I can give you my experiences in my life and what I've done and where I've messed up. I can tell you what I've done right. But you've got to get in the Word of God to find out what you need to know. And Asa didn't do that. He bypassed that. But do I rely on Tim, a man, or do I rely you on men? Do we rely on each other more than we rely on God? I think so. Because we're prideful. We're not real good people. If you really want to uncover the onion, we're not any of us good. There's none righteous, no, not one. It's what the Bible said. My righteousness is a filthy rags. I'm never not any better than I was. I'm just saved. That makes sense? Tim Kirby is still Tim Kirby. And some of y'all are saying, my golly. How in the world did God call him to preach the word? Because he did. I can't answer that. But I know that he did, or I wouldn't be standing here. Trust me, I wouldn't be messing with this if I didn't know that I had the prerogative to do it and that he called me to do it. But he calls people, and I'll never forget, that it was just like he's talking to me. And I say, laying on an MRI table, and you know how loud they are. And I'm getting ready to go in that MRI table, and that thing's stomping. And he said, what are you going to do, son? I've kept you alive one more time in your life. And all the strokes and all the cancer and all the car wrecks. He said, I've kept you alive. You. What are you going to do for me? And I said, I ain't got much choice now because you've pinned me down. And I said, I can't get out from here. And what do you want me to do? And I knew what he wanted me to do. I was running from it. He said, you preach my word. And I'm not patting Tim on the back. And trust me here. He said, I've called you because I know you won't back up on what my word says. That's in a God-called preacher and somebody that decides to go to seminary. I'm just saying that. Believe it or not. But if God doesn't call you, you don't need to be up there. I ain't kindly bothered. If you say, I stay away from it a whole lot of times. Because I'm not worthy to be there, trust me. But Asa did not rely on God. So what did he do? Got him in trouble. Got him in a mess. Next thing you know, if you keep reading to the bottom of that chapter, he has some trouble with his feet. He gets sick. He has a bad time. But let me get back here and focus. But so who's it going to be, man or God? You got to pick one or the other. And if you're a friend of the world, you're enemy of God. The Bible says that, not Tim. The Bible says if you choose to go the worldly way, you're my enemy. You don't support me.
These kids are under attack at ASU like some crazy. They get over there, they're attacked by Satan, but they're also attacked by a preacher that goes over there and beats them to death with a sign and tells them they're all going to hell. They're not all going to hell. Some of them will get their life right. So, I mean, you can't take that. And then there's a guy that goes over there, and y'all pray, because the Lord's been wanting me to go talk to this old boy. And I don't know what it'll turn into, because I know what I believe, and you can't take that away from me. But he can't go over there and beat these kids over the head how he does and tell them what they are. Trust me, I knew what it was. You didn't have to tell me what it was. If you look at yourself in the mirror and you get inside of yourself, you can figure out who you are in a hurry. They know what they are, and they know there's something missing in their life. But Jesus Christ didn't come and beat anybody over the head. He sat at the well and talked to a whore. I can say that here. Talked to a whore that's had five wives, and the husband or the man she's living with wasn't her husband. He didn't call her that. She knew what she was. He said, I love you, and I can give you something that no one else can give you. And he did. That's what Jesus is. But you can't go over there and beat this younger generation over the head with the Bible the way that you know it and not have some love in it. Bill Conrad knows what I'm talking about. You can't do it. They've got to be nurtured in a different way. And you've got to rely on the Holy Spirit to be there and have that little heart cultivated a little bit. And I love the way these girls will share with Jenny, because they won't do it in with guys around, and I don't blame them, because girls are girls. But they can get and have their little girl group and share things with each other. And girls are different than guys. Praise the Lord. Women rule by emotions. That's why we got to be careful in November. Right or wrong. A woman is an emotional creature. That's why a man can't be emotional. I'm not. I tell everybody I've got one feeling. And Jenny is the only one that can touch it. And that's pretty much true. I've built up a guard around myself. But I praise the Lord how much he lets me love people now. I didn't love people. I used to not like to be around people at all. But I love people now. And that's just the cultivating of the love of God. It's not nothing in me. It's just what he's done. But you've got to be careful, because a woman cannot be a man and a man cannot be a woman. And a woman has, we've got different things, guys, believe it or not. We've got strength. And I'm not saying that snidely to the women, but we've got a strength that women don't have. And women have a softness and a tenderness that we don't have. That's why you're supposed to be married to a woman. And you're supposed to have kids, and you're supposed to raise them, and you're supposed to do the best you can with them and love them and take them to church and love them like Jesus. But you can't make something that it's not. It's just, I don't know why I went there, but I did. But all right, man being others or yourself, do we rely on ourselves more than we rely on God? I say yes. I know sometimes I'll say, well, you know, this kind of reminds me of that situation I got into a few years ago, and I'm going to do it this way. And he just laughs and lets me do it. And a whole lot of times I'll plow the ditch. And a whole lot of times he'll say, I told you, and you should have done it my way. And we'd all went past this. Now you got to do it my way now, and it'll be right. If you can put God, if you can rely on God in everything in your life, she'll go better, I promise you. So God is displeased when he's distrusted. You know, I said, I looked at that old Roman, was he a centurion? And he said his little girl was sick. He knew who Jesus was. He said, I believe, but forgive my unbelief, in the same breath. I pray that God forgives my unbelief. Because there's things in that Bible that's hard to believe. Am I just being honest? You better believe it. Is there anything in there I doubt? Not really. But this, when I don't trust God, it's not pleasing to him. He's done everything he can do for Tim and you. But when I don't trust him, it hurts his feelings. I mean, it would mine. If I spill my heart to you and tell you what I think, and you're going to mess up and you're going to do something and you still go and do it, it hurts me, but it hurts you worse. That's just the way he is. He does hold us accountable, but he knows we're human beings and we fail a lot. I'm not a failure, but I fail a lot. And that's who he is. But when the flesh is relied on more than his authority, his sovereignness, his goodness, and his power, that's when he's displeased. He's a sovereign God. He knows how things are going to go. He's already there. And we have people, the what ifs. But what if this happens? What if it happens? God knows how to fix it. God knows what's going to take place with it. What, you know, and we get these kids and they're at a time in their life, they're looking for the right husband, looking for the right wife. They're looking for different things in their life. But what if it's the wrong one? Pray and God will give you the right one. God will give you the right spouse. I'm sure Jenny didn't think she had the right one for a while. But then the Lord had to save my soul. Then things changed. And then, you know, your life changes. But he's just so good. But it is foolish of us to lean on our own understanding when we have the rock of ages to lean on. We're foolish. And we are. It's just who we are. Excuse me. But the prophet was showing Asa that of all men, he had no reason to distrust God. God had been with him up through that story I was telling you about back in 14. That's where they beat the Ethiopians and stuff. And then, you know, you can go back up and read some of that. But I do want you to read the rest of that, because Asa got sick and Asa got down and Asa didn't know what to do. But the Lord was just, it's kind of like you turned your back on me. But the prophet was okay, all of us have had many experiences in our lives that show the mercy, grace, and goodness of God. Like I said earlier, look back on your life and look what he's done. You can't live back there. You got to live up here or here. Don't live back there, but learn from back there. But there's been mercy, grace, and love. The unconditional love of Jesus Christ has been in your life since before you was born. And, you know, Colton got me started on something last week in what he was talking about. And I'll touch it here. When you know to do right and you don't, that's what is it? Sin of omission, sin of commission. And it says if we know to do right and we don't do it to us, that's sin. All right, if we don't take a stand for the unborn, what good are we? That's the most vulnerable life in the world. What does the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, that thing up there, 1776, somebody look at me, tell me what it is, my mind's gone blank. Declaration of Independence. Thanks, see, y'all know what it's needing. What's it say? The pursuit of what? What's the first word? Life. Life. Ain't been more babies killed. But I told our church last week, I can't wait to get up there. I'm going to play with youngins. Man. And I only got forever to play with them. I can play with all of them, John. I can run them around because I'm going to be in a different body. I'm going to be able to handle it. I'm going to be able to chase them. And you know what I'm saying? But we as a country, we've got to get on our face and pray that God will take. I think judgment's coming upon us. It's already been on us for a while. But we've got to realize that he's the only one that can change it. He can take anybody he wants and put them in office. He can get his glory out of it because that's who he is. He can take something as evil and wicked as, but he's going to get his glory out of it because that person is going to bow to him one day. And me and Colton got to teach through Revelation. And I was just sitting, I think of the God haters in this world that are going to go to hell hating God. He's done everything he can for them. But that's the one that's that stiff neck and that pride. And he's going to either, they're going to bow. Or I feel like he's going to break their legs. They're going to bow to him, but guess what's coming out of their mouth? Jesus Christ is the Son. Jesus Christ is the Savior. Jesus Christ is who he says he is. That's what's going to happen. But Colton touched on that. But the shedding of innocent blood, that's wicked. And I can go ahead and tell you, Papa Grove, you're fixing to get it. And I almost preached it today. But if you'll go back into how much baby sacrifice was in the Old Testament, it'll make you sick. It should detest your stomach. And if you can't say, well, this is abortion, this is 2024, big deal, it's still killing a baby. And the ones that had the money back then, guess what they'd do? They'd go buy a baby. They would have to kill their own. Is that not sick? That's a sick mind. This is Old Testament, people. This is 2024. We're still as wicked as they are, if not more. Because you got this Molech or whatever, and he's sitting up here. Church, you miser, you're just getting a precursor to what you'll probably get in a couple weeks. But he's sitting up here with his arms like this in a big old fire pit right there. You just go up there and toss your baby in there? That's a sick. It's satanic. It's what it is. It's baby sacrifice. And then I got to reading about it, and I clicked off of this one real quick. Because this old boy said, well, God was bloodthirsty because he sent his son. He's going to sacrifice his own son. And this is the thought the Lord gave me.
He said, he didn't send Jesus. He sent himself as Jesus. He died for me. God Almighty died for me. Jesus did it, but God died for me. God created me. God died for me. They ain't getting that. They think God and Jesus are two different things. They don't get what they don't understand the Lord out the way that I do. But I know that the Holy Ghost is, that's what we have right now. Praise God for him. He's the one that leads us and guides us and directs us. Y'all, I'm a running rabbit, but I'm saying it because he wants it said. But look at how deceitful our hearts are. Jeremiah talks about it. We think, man, I'm the greatest person in the world. Man, we're wicked. We're wicked creatures. Think of what we allow to take place in this country. We ain't taking a stand. You're like, well, they won't change the laws. They won't do this. Why don't we do something about it? God-believing Christians should be taking a stand and absolutely tearing these places down and say, this is wrong, because it is. Not Tim, what the Word of God says. Because there's plenty in there about it. Because if you sacrifice a child, and guess what it's most of the time for? Because you're selfish. You ain't got the time. I don't want to spend my time being tied down to a baby. Shame on you. Greatest gift of my life is my boys. And then the college kids, and then these little ones. And I bet you right now, if I asked Wyatt to come up here and hug me, he'd come up here because I love that young man. He knows. Come on. See? That's God. Look at him. And I'm going to have her before it's over with. Come on, chicken. But until Jesus let me have my own, I didn't know what it was like.
I love it.
I've seen a little bit. But you know, but Jesus is welcoming babies to him. They're not just done. Trust me. But then we'll go and this stem cell research, study it. It's wicked. Because a whole lot of it is aborted fetuses. You don't know what I'd give to have an ankle. You don't know what I'd give. Jenny scared to death because I've been talking to a woman at work that her husband had a rod put in his and he's in good shape. I'm sitting here thinking about it. I'm going to go this route. But that genetic, you know, they can take your own cells and grow them and put them back in you and make you feel better. I'd love to do that as long as I knew that it wasn't somebody else's cell. I don't know whose cells they are. But you can't find any insurance that'll cover that. You know why? It makes you feel better. They want us to be on dope. They want us to throw a pill at this, throw a pill at that. Arthritis, I can't hardly walk. I ain't complaining because one day I'm going to be able to run. And I tell people right now, if you ever see me running, I'm out of ammunition and there's something coming that's a whole lot better than I am. That's what I tell my kid, everybody. Because if I'm running, there's something coming. But I know one thing, one of these days I'm going to be running to him. That's where I'm going. I'm going straight to him. There's not going to be nothing's going to hold me. Nothing can hold me. But we have no problem trusting God when we have nothing else to trust in. Think of that. When you're at your wit's end, guess who you'll go to? Well, Lord, I've tried it all. I've talked to everybody I know. I guess I'll talk to you now. He said, you know what? If you'd have come to me 2 months ago, we'd have done been over this. We'd have done been okay. You'd have done been better. But that's why we got to learn. We're just a prideful people. But when we have other ideas and people's opinions, we tend to depend on that way too much. We know so-and-so went through this. Let me see what they think. And a whole lot of times we'll say, well, I'm going to go get surgery here because so-and-so had good results. I don't mean you are. I don't necessarily mean that. It just, you know, but we need to trust God in how he guides us and where he leads us. But we truly are not as strong as we think we are. And I had to break down and tell my kids this a few years ago. And you men that's older than me. It bothered me when I had to tell my kids, I need help. I can't pick up what I used to could pick up. I can't push what I used to could push. I can't pull. And I've got one back there that's as big as a house. And the Lord give me that. And Kate is, she's strong as a bear. He's seen as big as Colton. But it really bothered me. But then I got to thinking, but this is just part of life. I'm getting older. I'm getting broke down. It hurts. And it's funny, I'll go to devotion or something in the morning and sit down. Ugh. It hurts to sit down. Oh, it hurts to get up. And these young boys will poop, 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 poop. I'm like, son, just wait. These wrestlers, I tell them all the time, these surgeries, it ain't hurting right now. It's going to. And it'll eventually hurt you. I used to tell Thomas Flitz, his shoulders and stuff and all blowed out. I'd say, it won't be long. It won't be long. I used to tell Coach, won't be long. You there now, ain't you? You hate to admit it. They see, because he's got some sitting over there. But it hurts. Our life hurts more now. But it don't have to hurt forever. And it won't hurt forever. But we've got to go through a little bit of persecution. We got to, not a little bit. Paul called it light affliction. Sometimes I've been afflicted so much I wouldn't call it light. Paul called it my light affliction. You'll go through your light affliction. This ain't nothing what Jesus Christ went through. You will not experience what he went through. You don't have to, because he did it for you. He's Jesus. He did it all. I'm about done. Just hang on. But the older I get, the more I see how much I rely on God. A whole lot more now than I used to. When you're younger, you thought you was tough. They still some tough. They some old men I wouldn't jump on right now for nothing. They're tough. But they've worked themselves that way. What the younger generation is going to do with that, I don't know. I really don't, because the working class generations are dying out. We're dying. And I say we because I'll be 60 next year. And I know I don't look it, but I am. Some people say I do, some people say I don't. But here's my challenge to you. I've given you the question, who do you rely on, man or God? But here's my challenge. Where could you be if you relied on God's strength instead of your own strength? Where could you be? A whole lot farther along than we are. I guarantee it. And I look at them wrestlers and I aggravate them all the time. They're big and strong and in shape and they run up higher than all just because they want to. Just because Coach makes them. They run up higher than all. Why? They say, won't you come do it with us? And I say, I'll drive up and wait on you to talk to you when you get there. But that's just the way it is. But their bodies are a gift. Your body is a gift. And if you're blessed with health, praise the Lord for it. Because it can be gone in a heartbeat. But if you took your strength and laid it aside and did something with God's strength, how much farther would you go? You wouldn't get tired. There wouldn't be an end to it. Because you're saying, I'm laying down myself out of the way, God. I'm crucifying myself. I'm carrying my cross today. I've laid it aside. Now you do with me what you want to. Man alive. Think of what you could do. But we don't. That's our own fault. That's selfish thinking. But it's who we are. I'm going to give you some scripture and we're done. Philippians 4:13, you can say it with me. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And that's not a, he strengthens me one time. Strengtheneth is an ongoing strength. Which strengtheneth me. Not I'm done with you. I'll give you strength for this one little task you have to do. No, if I say that prayer every morning, mine's creating me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me. If I could wake up and do that every morning, how much better could I be? How much better could you be? But Ephesians 3:16, and there's a word that keeps kicking out here if you'll listen, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. His spirit, his strength. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strong and powerful in God. And Cole was talking about this morning, the only offensive weapon you have in your arsenal of defense is the Word of God. It's the only thing you can take to Satan. You got to protect yourself with all the other ones, the shod, the feet shod, the breastplate and all that. But guess what? They ain't no protection on your back. You know why? Because most people you fight with, you wouldn't expect them to stab you in the back. May that fall where it may. But no, any good soldier doesn't need protection in the back because he knows the man behind him's got it. He knows I ain't going to worry about that man. He's up here doing the same thing I am. But we're messed up people. We just are. Psalm 138:3 says, in the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. Cry out to him. If you need some help, he's there. He'll help you, I promise.
Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And this one, I threw this in there for you young, good in shape guys. Proverbs 20:29, the glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. I like it, so I'm getting gray headed. Hey, they some beautiful men sitting out there in Ions. No, I ain't that way. But they some beautiful men in this church. Because you help me. You pray for me. You try to help other people. There's people in here I can go to at any time and you'd help me with anything I needed. That's a blessing. I don't look at anybody in here as, well, man, they sure wouldn't help me. I hope you would. But that's the way we need to be, and I'm getting there. And I got a fella that's younger than me at work. He said, you ain't got no gray hair, do you? I said, yeah, it's there. You just ain't got the right light. But now my old beard's getting pretty gray. Mark Goodman sitting back there, he ain't got no hair. So I feel blessed. And I coached that little one in football right there sitting beside him. I couldn't believe it. Boys, I'm getting old. But the beauty of young men is their strength, or the, what is that? The glory of young men is their strength. And the beauty of old men is the gray head. Proverbs 24:10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. We better start getting tough. It ain't going to get no easier. Adversity's here. People, well, that's the minority is ruling the majority because they're offended. The Word of God should offend you. It's designed to do that, but it's designed to do it in a soft way. We got to be careful how we offend with the Word. But the Word's true. You can't back up on it. But the world right now is looking to be offended. And if you're not offended, I'll be offended for you. See what I'm saying? That's where we're at. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God's going to hold you up. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. When I'm weak, he is strong. When Jenny's weak, I'm stronger. But when I'm strong, sometimes I have to see that my weakness needs to be more softness. See, it's hard for me to talk to these college girls, and I've been around boys my whole life. That makes sense. And she says, sometimes you hurt their feelings and you don't even know it. And that destroys me because the last thing I want to do is hurt one of them's feelings. But she says, you talk in a certain tone and they've not been around you long enough to know that you're not serious. And I said, thank you. But that's how she softens me. She helps me. But, you know, we wouldn't be where we're at without her. And then verse 10 says, or most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest on me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. That's Paul. He takes pleasure in everything that's happened to him. He don't complain about it. He says, the Lord kept me around for a reason. In persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then am I strong. When you can see yourself as weak, you'll be the strongest human being you've ever been because you have to have him. You have to go to him. 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. That's beautiful scripture. And then I threw this one in, and this is my heart to the ministry. And the Lord gave me this verse, and I've always been trying to, there's a few other ones, but he gave me this verse yesterday. And this is my prayer for the ministry that God has placed me and my wife in. And he didn't just call me, he called her when he called me. And he knew who I was going to marry. But Psalm 71:18 says, and you college kids and younger kids listen to this. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. Until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Man, if I died right now, y'all put that on my tombstone. Because I want to show this generation the strength of God. They're not defeated. They may be outnumbered, but they're not defeated because the power of God is stronger than anything that we could ever know. But that I just said, man alive, the Lord just melted me when I read that. But don't take me
until I've showed thy strength unto this generation. That's a blessing right there. And the Lord just encouraged me with that scripture, and I'm done. And Haroldians want to close, James. Do y'all, Nathan, do you want to come up and y'all sing one, or somebody come play, or how do you want to?